Good morning. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Randy Newman is a senior fellow at the C.S. Lewis Institute, and he's been using a questioning style of evangelism for years. In his provocative book, he provides practical insights to help Christians engage others in meaningful and spiritual conversations. So, Randy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Great to be with you.
Yeah, well, let me ask you the big question up front. Why are questions better than answers?
Well, why do you think? Just kidding. Although only partially. When you answer a question with a question, or when you ask a question, you engage the person in the answering process. So when I turned that around on you and said, why do you think? I mean, even though it seemed like a joke, you probably started to think, well, I don't know why. And that's what we want to do. We want to engage people in the answering process, not just have them watch us struggle to find an answer. Mm-hmm. And Jesus did that all the time, and he did it masterfully, of course.
Now, clearly, you are all in favor of evangelism. So the title of your book, Questioning Evangelism, almost makes it sound as if you don't think it's a great idea. But only the opposite is the truth.
Right. Yeah, I knew it was a little provocative or
like
curious.
It.
So no, I am not questioning whether we should do evangelism. No, not at all. I am questioning about the way we have done evangelism for a long time, and I do question whether that's as effective as it once was. I think in our culture, at least in America in the 1950s and 60s, there was a kind of approach, a sales approach, where we did all the talking and they did all the listening. And I think in some ways that worked for a while, but things have changed so radically, and we need to become masters at the two-way dialogue, asking questions, answering questions with questions, making it more of a back-and-forth kind of thing that involves people more in the process.
You know, Randy, I've found that if people are hurt or angry about God, that's something that they're willing to talk about pretty readily. Sometimes I say, if you've really rejected God, would you tell me about the God you rejected? And they'll usually proceed to tell me about a God that I wouldn't believe in that God either.
Right. I think that's a good strategy. And I think you're exactly right. There is a lot of pain and hurt and disappointment in our world. And listening to people's stories of unbelief, their unconversion testimony, can really help us pave or develop a really closer relationship with people so that they're willing to listen to our story. And we need to go about it gently, I think. I think there was a time when we were very combative. Here's why you're wrong and here's why I'm right. And I'm not so sure that worked all that well ever.
Mm-hmm. Randy, what would you say are the most common excuses that Christians will use today for not sharing their faith?
Well, I don't like to think of them as excuses. I mean, I guess they are, but I mean, I think it's difficult. I think people, on some level, people have a legitimate fear. I think there's a very high likelihood of us being rejected or hurt or insulted, and nobody likes that. Jesus warned us that people were going to reject us and hate us. So I think that that's difficult. Now, I think what is a mistake is for us to try to figure out, oh, no, that's not true. That's not going to happen to me. Rather, it's, well, when it happens, how am I going to handle it with the strength that I have in my standing in the gospel, in my identity in the Messiah? So I think a lot of it is fear. And I think what we want to say to people is God can use a fearful, timid evangelist. For years I was with Campus Crusade, and the founder, Bill Bright, had a book called Witnessing Without Fear. It's a very helpful book, but the title, in my mind, belongs in the fiction section in my life. Witnessing Without Fear, I've never done it, never in my whole entire life.
Right.
I thought maybe I should title my book Witnessing With Fear. Maybe that's another book.
I like that.
Well, and I think that's what Paul did. I think that's what he said in 1 Corinthians 2. I was with you with much fear and trembling. So, hey, if Paul preached the gospel with fear, okay, God can use a timid evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on our boldness. It's based on the power and truth of the message.
And Randy, this idea of yours was birthed on my show, so this is like a 10% royalty to me, just so we have the record nice and straight.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't think so.
I'm joking.
All right. Let's...
Well, I'll talk to my agent about any kind of royalty fees, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, you'll talk to my agent. His name is Vinny. All right. Let's... Let's talk about
what... You probably just consulted a whole lot of people right there.
I'm sure I did. Well, welcome to my world, okay? Let's talk about what some of the first questions you might want to ask to get a conversation started.
Yeah, there are starter questions, and we need to know a few of them. But they're not all that complex. I think as we're getting to know people, finding out about all sorts of things about their lives, where they're from, what kind of work they do, we can also say, well, how about spiritual stuff? Are you interested at all in spiritual things? Or what part, if any, has faith ever played in your life? Or do you come from a religious background? Or has your religious background shaped you in any way today? So those kind of things. A friend of mine says we want to listen for the sake of hearing, not listen for the sake of responding, at least not right away. So we really want to listen to hear and hear people's story and hear what has shaped them.
Okay, so you've just asked me that question, and I say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual. Oh, it's very important to me.
Oh, well, there's a whole lot to listen to then. How did that happen? And what, you know, who are some of your biggest influences? Do you read some books on this topic, or do you listen to some podcasts? I'm really curious. This is an interest of mine. I'd love to hear about your experience. What has shaped your spirituality, as you term it, at this point? And what you're looking for is common connection points with the gospel. I mean, sure, probably 90% of it is totally different than the gospel, but underneath that is a longing to connect with something supernatural, and the gospel is certainly about connecting with the God of the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for commonality, common ground, rather than points of disagreement.
So, but if I were to say, well, it's the God in me, and every experience I have brings me closer to the oceans of my existence.
Wow, that's pretty neat. Wow.
What's your comeback to that, Mr. Newman?
Well, isn't it time for a break yet?
No, it is actually it's time for a break.
Should we do that after the
break? Yeah, let's do that after the break. It's 15 minutes after the hour. I'm talking to Randy Newman about his book, Questioning Evangelism. We'll be back in just a minute. We are back with Randy Newman, Senior Fellow for Evangelism and Apologetics at the C.S. Lewis Institute, author of the book Questioning Evangelism. Randy, one of the things I'm already learning about you is you're not rattled easily, and you stay present, which are probably two qualities that are important when it comes to evangelism.
Yeah, I think so, but I may be more rattled than you think. I want to encourage people who do get rattled. It's okay. It's really okay. Worst case scenario, you say to someone, "Boy, I don't know. I got to think about that." That's really okay. In fact, that's better than okay. Because what you're telling the person is you're humble, but you care about them enough to think about it some more. I mean, you can say, you know, let me do a little research and I'll get back to you. I think in our world today, people are very skeptical of know-it-alls and, you know, people who always have an answer. They're so polished. So I think admitting that you're frazzled, and even what I did just before the break when I said, wow, isn't it time for a break? I mean, I wasn't just joking. I was trying to buy myself some time. And I think we should do that with people. I think sometimes we say, wow, this is really getting uncomfortable, or, wow, you've really kind of shaken me a little bit. I think all of that is okay. That's very authentic. And again, the conversion process, the salvation process is not dependent on our smoothness. I think we take on too much credit and too much responsibility. I think we're to proclaim what we know as best as we possibly can, and to always be trying to improve and get better and learn. So I've stalled long enough. What was your question? Oh, but you have the inner oceans in you.
Yes, yes. Let's just say that it's the God in me. The God in me is that's my spirituality. And then I made some remark about every experience brings me closer to the oceans of my existence.
Mm-hmm. So I would want to ask some more questions about that. How did you come to that? Who's influenced? You know, are you? Do you regularly go to meetings or something about this? But then, sooner or later, the pivot point comes when I ask, well, how about Jesus? Have you ever read much or thought much about Jesus? How does he figure in? And have you ever read any of the Gospels in the New Testament about Jesus? Would you be willing to read some of that stuff? And maybe even together we could discuss it. Because sooner or later, you've got to get the spotlight onto Jesus and what we know about Jesus from God's Word and off of me, the evangelist. I mean, because if you're just talking about your opinion about Jesus or what happened in your, I mean, those are all good things, but sooner or later you want the authority and the power and the cutting edge of God's Word confronting this person and their oceans of their existence.
So, even hearing that back makes me laugh.
And, you know, the Bible is really powerful. I mean, you know, there are all sorts of people who have a billion objections, but then they start reading the Word, and it's as if God's Word just sort of cuts that stuff away and puts it off to the side. So I just think we want to be polite and genuinely interested in hearing people's story, and we want to tell them our story, but ultimately we want to point them to the story of the gospel in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm having conversations with people, I'm just trying to get to know, or I'd like to steer the conversation to spiritual topics, I would say something like, so when you were growing up, did you have a praying grandmother? Because everyone's willing to say, oh, yeah, my grandma, she prayed for me all the time. Or I'll ask something like, so when you were growing up, did your parents take you to church? Because you're usually not going to go on your own because you don't have a car. You're 14. You can't drive. So either you went to church because your parents took you to church.
I think that's a very good starting point as long as you're prepared for the people who say, no, not at all. And I think we're going to have more and more of those people.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely are.
Yeah.
So I think that is it's a good starting point, but it's not a guarantee to lead where you want it to go. So we need to have a whole bunch of different kinds of starting points or strategies. There's no one size fits all. I think that is a mistake we made in the past, the Christian church. We all wanted to try to find the booklet, the outline, the one surefire book to give to somebody. And I don't know if that was ever a good idea, but our world used to be a lot more homogenous. Now we're so diverse and there's so many different kinds of backgrounds. We need a number of things. The great news is the gospel is a multifaceted message. At its core, definitely is forgiveness of sins. Jesus died on the cross to pay for sins. But there are all sorts of implications that flow out of that, things like finding purpose and meaning in life, finding an understanding about how the world works, getting rest for the weary. A lot of people don't feel guilty, even though they are, and they don't feel the need for forgiveness. Now, we want to eventually communicate that to them, but we might start more with, wouldn't it be great to have some kind of framework about figuring out how the world works, or why do I have these longings in my life that are unsatisfied? That's a different route to the same core gospel. But we need to know the gospel so well and see it's all of its different facets so that we can point people from a variety of directions.
Mm-hmm. Randy, what are some skills that might be required for any evangelistic approach?
Well, in the early part of the book, I say we all need at least three skills. One is declaring the gospel, basically just knowing how to state it concisely.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we need to know how to defend the gospel, know just what are some of the common questions people are going to ask and what are some of the good answers. We've got a lot of great material to help us with that today. And then third, we need to be good dialoguers, knowing how to have a good conversation, how to be good listeners, how to listen to not just the words people say, but the tone of voice, their facial expression, the emotions behind their thoughts, And that's a lifelong skill that I think we all need to improve and work on. Most of us think we're very good at it. Most of us could use some improvement. So those are the skills: declaring, defending, dialoguing.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you could, with just a minute left, you could offer some encouragement to someone out there who needs to get off the dime and take that risk.
Yeah, well, I think what we want is we want to know exactly how this whole thing's going to go before we start, and that's not possible.
Mm.
So what we want to do is we'll just start the process and see where it goes, see where the Lord takes it. Remember that you're not alone in this conversation, that the Lord is working in the person's life. So start it and see where it goes, rather than having to try to figure it all out and be very willing along the way to go, I got to think about that.
Yeah, even at the risk of having the relationship head the other direction, the direction you may not want to take it, but just trust that God is faithful.
That's right. We do need to be willing for that, yes.
Yeah, and so my guest has been Randy Newman, and his book is called Questioning Evangelism. I highly recommend it. Randy, thanks so much for being on the show.
It's great to be with you. Thanks.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. All right, have a great day.
Thanks.
Yep, it's 26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be back in just a minute.
Starting your day with faith, hope, and clarity. The Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio.